stepping back to get away from the microphone, then I realized I'm taking it with me. Wow, and I have to talk now. Oh, thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been busy. Really busy, and in a really wonderful way. Wow. I walked in and I go back and forth between one moment going, oh my God, this is amazing. It's over the top. It's so fabulous. And well, of course, this matches the consciousness of this group. It just took a while for the outpicturing to get here. And wow, you've really done it. You're really doing it, and you're going to keep on doing it. Because now that you have the outward manifestation, it's easier to keep that inner picture of it going. So it goes and grows and continues to grow. I forgot what I was going to talk about. I really did. So, I bring you greetings from home office. Those of you who ever deal with home office have all of your frustrations and your unhappiness and your joys, because we are not always the easiest people to reach, and we are not always the quickest people to respond. We try. We are overwhelmed and underpaid. We're well paid. We are well paid. We are overextended time-wise. So please, I'm bringing my apologies ahead of time if you ever reach out to us. But I will tell you this. There's one office that does not delay getting back to you, and that's mine. So if you run into those delays anywhere else, call me. I'm easy to get. I'm on the website. And I'll connect you with the right person, and they'll call you back. But we do. We have hundreds and hundreds of requests every day. We have no one answering the phones except managers and people who are in full positions, so we don't have anything but us. I don't know why am I even talking about this. Anyway, I bring you greetings from us to say thank you for all that you do to make what we do at home office possible. I've been busy too for the last 4 years, so I'm going to give you a fast rundown of that. And then after the celebration today, I think we're having some food, of course. I'm here. We're having food. And we'll have a little meeting and discuss a little more detail, things you may want to know about the education department and other departments. But while you've been busy attracting and creating this amazing new spiritual leader that you have and this incredible space, I've been busy doing my growth as well, doing something like I got a doctorate while I was out wandering around. It was kind of nice. I think they thought they had to, since I'm now the president of Holmes Institute, a master's degree program. I needed a doctorate to, you know, fill that out. I'd done all the work. I just made some people mad, so I didn't get it way back. And we integrated two ministerial programs. When we integrated the two organizations of Science and Mind, and for those who were around through that fun, it was two totally different cultures. And the one thing they said we'll have the hardest time doing is integrating the ministerial program, so we'll just not do that right now. So they just left them alone to continue to run their course while we integrated. And then when I got there, I discovered that was my job. So we've done it, and we've done it beautifully and successfully. And we started with a room full of people who could barely talk to each other because they were so frustrated with how wrongly the other side did it, to a room full of people who love and honor and respect each other, and have now created a brand new program. And that is rich and deep and big and loud and noisy, and honors individual growth and individual perspectives. So it's been quite a journey in the 4 years I've been out and running around. We've expanded. We had about 60 ministerial students when I got there. We now have 158 altogether. So that's growing. More and more people are going into ministry in this program. We have the master's program now for anyone with a bachelor's degree. You don't have to be in the ministerial program to get a master's in consciousness studies. It is a rich, powerful program. If you don't believe it, ask Frank. He will give you all the details and can do it better than I can, because I never did it, but he's doing it, and he's nearing completion. So there's just been so much. My big joy right now is we have just launched the first ever Spanish language ministerial education program ever. And it's in Latin America. It's focused in Mexico. We have 30 students. We have 50 total. 20 more that'll be signing up in the next few weeks. And we have started negotiations with the minister in Switzerland to do the same thing over there. So it's starting. We are starting to truly be international, as we have said we were for a long time. So anyway, that's my commercial. I'm done with it for now. If you want to hear more about any of that or what's the new coursework happening in lifelong learning and practitioner and all of that, we'll talk more detail later. So I've been busy. You've been busy. And you know what? As I was thinking earlier and we were treating before we came in, everything's eternal. You know, the important things go forever. The love, the life, the really good things. And thank you. I don't know if you deliberately did that, but you picked all my favorite songs to sing today. So thank you. They are some that Jim wrote and others. And so everything we've done together continues to grow and develop and just build on itself. So, you know, hallelujah. I will always be part of your family, and I will always deeply honor this amazing spiritual leader that you have, who's been my spiritual leader. She's been one of my spiritual teachers and leaders since we did know each other, with me way back in Visalia in that year that when we were both still in our 30s, you know, so it was a good thing. So thank you. It's good to be here. It could be. When I first saw the proposed idea for today's talk, and we're doing this based on the cycles and flows that go on nationally, this part of our values assessment and looking at what is the growth and where is it, the description says spiritual living through the safety of love. And the first thing in my mind was that old song from the Smallville TV show, "Save Me!" Remember that? Am I the only Smallville fan here? Okay, I look like I am. Oh, well. So that's okay, too. But the idea, you ever feel that way? You ever have a morning, a day, when you just want to yell that to yourself or to somebody? "Save me, please! Get me out of this mess!" I walked into the hotel room we're staying in last night and I went, "Save me! I already paid for it." Yeah, a lot of places in life that we show up and we go, that we get into that spot where we just inside. Of course, we never do that on the outside because we're religious scientists and we're all sophisticated together and we're always positive, right? But inside, many times we are screaming and yelling, "Save me, save me, save me. Get me out of this. Holy Moses." You know, how did I do this to myself? Why? Why did I make that choice? Many years ago, I made a choice to slide down a rock, hit the bottom, broke both ankles. It's like, no, save me from myself. You know? Yes, there's lots out there in the world that we often feel like we need to be saved from, right? Especially now in the world. I mean, there's all the fear and stuff about Korea, and their fear and stuff about what's happening in the East and the West and the North and our own neighborhoods, and the racial tension and the police brutality issues and the thises and the thats and all of that stuff going on around us. And a lot of folks are saying, "What's happening? Save me from all this." And that is scary stuff. But the place where we have to be saved from first is right here. I got to be saved from myself before I can do squat about all of that out there. And you know, the temptation in saving ourselves or being saved is to think that we can save ourselves by doing something about something out there. You know, one more facelift and I'll be saved from my apparent age, or saved from looking in the mirror and seeing whoever that is standing between me and the mirror, you know? Do something on the outside to fix it. If I could just get this group and that group to like each other and talk to one another in a nice way. If I could just get those people to think right and be right. You know, I have a shirt I bought here in Philly a few years ago that says, "We means everyone." It's a great shirt. I bought it at a gay rights march. So I thought, you know, it's a very liberal left-wing kind of a thing. I walked into a little diner on my way to the minister's conference, and these guys are sitting around drinking coffee, and they've got their veterans hats on, and they're about my age, and they're you know, making comments about the waitress and on and on. They're just good old boy kind of crowd. And I thought, uh-oh, they're going to see this shirt. As I walked by the table, one of them stopped me. He said, "Thank you for that shirt. It's about time people recognize that we are part of the whole too." And that we means us. And it hit me like a brick. No matter what faction you may see and feel like you're part of in this world we are now living in, everybody feels disconnected and left out. Even those that you might appear to think are the ones in charge. Or even though they're the other group that looks like they have the power and we don't. Whatever group that is, kind of doesn't matter. Because they're all having the same sense. That the goodness of the whole doesn't belong to me. It belongs to them, whoever they are. And it just rocked me when I saw that. And heard that. I went and sat down and was very quiet for a while. Because here I was thinking I was going to be rejected somehow. And they were the ones that felt rejected. And it was just amazing. See, that's the world we're living in right now. Everybody feels disconnected and not part of. You know, save me from the Democrats. Save me from the Republicans. Save me from the current president. Save me from the last president. Save me. On and on and on it goes. Yeah, thank you. One person over here, thank you. I think we're uncomfortable with that idea because it's so easy for us to assume that whatever group we affiliate with that seems to match the truth that we know it is the group that we can lose sight of. They are too, whoever they are for you. I know people who have left this organization because they are of one political party or another and they don't feel they're welcome. Not this center, but our larger organization. I know people who leave the country because they don't feel part of one group or another, whoever seems to be in charge. See, I think what we have to be saved from is ourselves and our belief that somehow we are separate from and not connected with or part of whatever appears to be going on around us. What we are called to in this teaching as people who recognize and say we believe there's one power, one love, one life, one anything, one all of it. We are called to recognize that that includes everybody. That means I have to find a way to love them all. Don't get up and walk out. I have to find a way to love them all. And that's the safety factor that love is. I'll come back around. Of course, the miracle says that we live in a constant choice between love and fear. Constant choice between love and fear. We are living and walking in love, or we are living and walking in fear, and there's nothing else. Everything will fall under one of those categories or the other. What we know about from this teaching to be the truth is that we create our experience. Now, wait a minute. You haven't seen mine lately. I didn't create this mess. My mama did it. Right? Somebody else must have done it. I didn't do it. That's the part of this teaching that people get. Once they start to get, it's really where it comes to the choice point on this teaching. Do I create my experience or not? If I'm responsible for my experience, then uh-oh. That's where people choose to leave or choose to stay. That's when the teaching goes deep and big and rich, or that's where they say, okay, this really isn't for me. I'd rather go where the devil made me do it. In this teaching, it's just whatever your psychological issues are. instead of the devil. You know? That's what made me do it. But we create our experience based not just on the highest and best ideas that we carry, but all of those ideas that we carry. So the more I am walking and living in fear, the more I am creating a fearful experience for myself. The more I am walking and living in the fear of all those people out there who are all the others, whatever those others look like, the more I'm creating experiences and opportunities to have negative opportunity with those others. And occasionally, Spirit breaks through and reminds us that's not true. I saw the others at the table in the diner, and then suddenly we became brothers, not others. Because they stepped beyond and recognized themselves in my shirt. See, Spirit will break through and show us that there's a better idea than our fear. I have great love and appreciation for those men and what they did for us. Things I couldn't have done, I was afraid to do. You know, we have to find a way to love and appreciate the other, including the other in myself. I have to find a way to love and appreciate the part of me that just sometimes doesn't love anybody and wants them to get out of the way and leave me alone. I have to love and appreciate the part of me that sees the other as other. I have to love and appreciate the part of me that's not as smart as I'd like me to be, or as thin, or as young, or as handsome, or as this, or as that. Just love it. Love me up. Love myself up. Do you ever have just a love feast with yourself? Take yourself out to dinner, go to your favorite movie, you know, eat things you want to eat just because you want to eat them. Nobody can forget the menu, I mean the eating plan or the diet or any of that. Just feels like love. Yeah. Okay, now I'm exposing my issues. Yeah. Pardon?
Sounds like you've been in Colorado.
I have. Oh, God, yes. Everybody out there is on the food plan. You can't get good comfort food in a restaurant. Not unless you go to the one with the rocking chairs.
Yeah.
That one. Everybody has a bicycle, everybody has a dog, and everybody walks before breakfast. It's just wrong. Sometimes I love myself enough to do that, and sometimes I love myself enough not to. But the point I hope you're getting out of all this silliness is that there is the starting place, which has to be us loving and appreciating ourselves. And our next step in that happens automatically is we come to love and appreciate those who mirror back to us the good things we like about ourselves, our affinity groups, the groups that like what we like, the groups that do what we do, the groups that think the way we think. One of the things we say about religious science, which has always blown my mind, is that this is a place for like-minded people to come together. I don't know what science and mind centers you've been going to. But I had never seen a bunch of religious scientists that agreed on anything. But we are like-minded in that we are open to honoring the idea and opinion of everybody in the room. We are open to loving and appreciating the hearts of everybody in the room. And that's what's like-minded about it, frankly. See, we go automatically to that affinity group. And they're like us, and because they match the parts we love about ourselves already and think it's pretty cool. I love the fact that I'm open-minded. I love the fact that I'm smart, and that I think, and that I'm not 199% overrun by emotion, even though I'm close to that sometimes. But I engage the brain too. See, and then the next part of that, though, is there's another larger group that we aren't in affinity with, but that are our brothers and sisters, and that are reflections of us as well. There are people out there that reflect my anger, my secret hatreds. I know I'm the only one that's got them, but this is all about me anyway. You know, to reflect back those things that I gave up, I thought, until I see them in someone else, and then they just irritate the crap out of me. Why don't they just get over that? Don't they know better? Why are they still shooting on themselves? Well, because deep down in my mind, it wouldn't bother me if I wasn't still doing it to some degree. So all of those folks are our teachers. They're reflections of some part of us that is open and welcome to be loved and healed. And the safety in it comes in us loving ourselves and loving them, even if we don't love what they do, their choices, or whatever. Pick the person that's most your most favorite person to hate. I'm not going to name anybody because I know better than to do that. We all have different ones. And find a way to love that person no matter what. Sometimes you got to go way back with them. You got to see them as a teeny tiny little baby. It's hard to hate a baby. All right? You know, unless you're a mother and you just had quintuplets or something, but, you know, then you might have one of them you don't like, but overall, it's hard to hate a baby. Find a way to go back to that beginning place with that person where you can see some tenderness. See, she's leaving. I knew it. So you find that spot where you can find something positive, something to love. What if everybody on the planet is doing the best what they believe to be the most loving, good thing to be done? That's what Emma Curtis Hopkins says. We're all just speaking out, living out our love as we understand it. Now, it's diverse. And a lot of people have got ideas about love that I think are a little weird. People think some of my ideas about love are weird. Including vanilla ice cream. So, you know, it's a important and powerful thing to be able to do that. And it's what we as religious scientists, folks in this teaching, are called to do no matter what. And we're done with waiting around. The world has waited around for us long enough. It is time now for us to step up and see health, healing, wholeness where it appears not to be. And to look at it kind of like the bridge story that she told this morning, to look at that until we see the way across the bridge or somebody comes to show us. To find a way to look at those differences in ourselves and each other, so until we find a way to bridge them. When we were creating the new ministerial program, we sat in a room together and we just kept talking until we could find something everybody agreed upon. It took a while, and it took digging deep. What we found was we all agreed upon love. We all agreed upon the idea that this teaching is so important it must be maintained and carried forward and expanded and grown and opened up at the top in all kinds of ways. And that training and education is the way to do that. And since we all believed in that, we had to find the way to make that happen together. And we did. And we found great respect for what had been differences of opinion. It's easier to do when everybody in the room is in agreement that we got to do it. It's harder to do when not everybody agrees. But it's still ours to do. It's our heart. It's our calling. It's what we are brought into the world. It's what it's all about. In this teaching, we talk about two things, love and law. The law is that life is going to continue expressing itself on this planet any old way. It's going to keep showing up, and human beings and other sentient beings get to create and shape and form it and bring it forth in the shapes and sizes and ways that we want. But it's going to continue, with or without us. The love side of our teaching is that what we love is what we get to create and manifest. What you love the most is what there will be the most of, continuing to come forward and come forth. So the more I am able to love my enemy, the more I am able to love those perceived as dangerous, the more I'm able to love scary situations and love the scary right out of them, the safer, richer, bigger, and greater the world's going to be, and the easier I'm going to walk through it and flow through it. And yeah, I had to get around to the fire. You're going to hear about this fire walk till you're sick of it. I promise you, anywhere I go, probably all of us ministers who walk through it, because what made that happen was we had to love the fire. among many other things. He started out, I thought he was lost his mind. He started out talking about loving the fire before he ever had a fire. And we got the fire, and he's appreciating it and loving it, and I'm thinking he's crazy. And then before long, we're singing, and the coals are spread out, and I'm thinking, I can love that fire for showing me what I'm not, which is afraid, which is trapped by external circumstances, that there's a power of consciousness to overcome anything and heal anything. Many of you know that back in March, my apartment caught fire in the middle of the night. I woke up to breaking glass and crackling sounds, and I jumped up and I looked out the window, and I thought, wow, the lights are bright out there. And I went back, crawled in my bed, and I thought, well, that noise is still going on. So I looked in the bedroom, and the living room was all up in flames, and the noise had been shattering windows and stuff. I had two ways out. I could jump off the third floor onto the rocks and gravel, which I didn't think was a smart idea. I tried that a long time ago, and it didn't work. So instead, I tried to decide, what do you take out of a building when your house is on fire? So I got my wallet and my cell phone. Those seemed reasonable. Realized that I needed somewhere to put them. I didn't have any pants, so I put pants on so I could have something to go in the pockets and grab my house slippers. And ran out through the living room because it was the only way out of my bedroom, through the fire outside. And for a while I had some issues around flames and fire and whatever. It gave me an opportunity to buy a lot of new furniture. It gave me a chance to get new electronics. It melted and burned up a lot of stuff that I was getting rid of anyway. The important stuff, family pictures and photos and all of that, are fine. None of that got burned. The things that really mattered the most to me didn't get touched. But last week, when I stood in front of that bed of coals, for the first time since the fire, fire became my friend. Fire was an opportunity for me to prove to myself this teaching, that is, mind is stronger than any external circumstances, and we do not have to be controlled by them. So I love that fire, and I love the people around me, and I stood there a little while before I could take the first step. And what happened was I started feeling the love and support of everyone else, and I just kind of walked through. I didn't feel any heat. I didn't feel any pain. I just felt, it's kind of like walking on powder. They washed my feet at the end, and no blisters, no nothing. I was scared to look at them for a couple of days, but still. See, it is the love that makes you safe. Find a way to love what you're afraid of. Find a way to love what you think is attacking you or can hurt you. And you'll love it right out of that place. And you will be forever safe. Because you are wonderful. I know, because I know most of you. And so am I. And so it is.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you. And trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.